I will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen, and on today's show, we will have part two of our interview with Glenn Kinnear and Larry Bernstein, two of my old friends from Chicago who went on to become great bodybuilding champions themselves. Glenn was the 1986 AAU Mr. America winner and also the Mr. World winner that year. And Larry went on to win the 1983 Mr. America in the short class, and he also won the Mr. World and competed in the NABBA Universe. So two great champions, and I caught them together out in Phoenix, Arizona a couple of weeks ago. Glenn was out in Arizona visiting his family, and he hooked up with Larry, so I got a chance to talk to both of them. So you're going to enjoy part two of this interview today, where we talk a little bit more about bodybuilding and how it's changed from the 1970s and the 1980s to today's world. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation. So we'll get to that in a second. Before we get to that, I want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. They have offices all over the United States, but they can work with anybody in the continental United States just through their website. Tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they'll give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. All right. So at the end of our conversation with Glenn and Larry, I'm going to read another article today. And in the conversation we're going to have in this interview, we talk a little bit about Tim Belknap, because Tim Belknap was from the Rockford, Illinois area, and he rose up very, very quickly. And in 1980, in November of 1980, Tim won the AAU Mr. Illinois, and he just steamrolled over the competition. I was actually there watching the contest at 17 years old, and Tim just blew me away. He looked better than most of the IFBB professionals at the time. And a couple months later, Tim went into the AAU Mr. Midwest contest in March at the same venue in Rockford, and he won the overall there. And then about 6 months after that, Tim went into the AAU Mr. America and won the overall there. So he was an unbelievable bodybuilder, and you had to see this guy in person to appreciate it. So I found an old article about Tim from the May 1981 issue of Iron Man magazine, written by Franklin Page. And I think it kind of accurately describes how impressive Tim was at that time. Of course, there's a lot of freaks out there now, but at that time, back in 1980, 81, Tim was a real, real freak. So we were all blown away by him. So I'm going to read that article as soon as we get done with our interview with Glenn Kinnear and Larry Bernstein. So make sure you stick around for that. We had a passing in the bodybuilding world this last week. Anton Halyk, who was a bodybuilder from Czechoslovakia, and he did very well in the 1980s. He never turned pro, but looking at his contest record now, he got third place in the Mr. Universe, the IFBB Universe in 79, which was in Columbus, Ohio. I saw that contest. That was in the middleweight class behind Roy Duvall. And then he also got third in 1981, and he got fourth in 1982. So he was a top competitor in the IFBB from in the international scene at the Mr. Universe and the Mr. Europe contest. So Anton passed away this last week. So rest in peace to another great champion. Let's see. We got some emails from last week. We got one email. If you guys want to email me, the email address is naturalolympia@gmail.com. And this one comes from Roger. And he says, "Hi, John, I love this interview." This, he was talking about John DiCola. said, I love this interview with John DeCola. When I first saw him at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in 1968, I was barely aware of him. It was one of those who the hell is this guy moments because he was an immediate standout amongst all the Weider boys. He stood his ground and let everyone know he belonged in this fast crowd. Secondly, I admire the way you conduct your interviews. You are knowledgeable, congenial, and perhaps best of all, you let them speak. You never rush or speak over them and are always respectful. Have you thought about interviewing Freddie Ortiz from the 60s? He was a real freak with that tiny waist, crazy lat sweep, and huge arms. He was short and he needed bigger legs because he rarely squatted, but on stage he blew you away. Like Scott, all you saw were those giant arms, but also that incredible V taper and vacuum. Respectfully, Roger. P.S. Last I heard, he was head of security at the Link House in New York City. He is 80, still training and in great shape. Still has that small waist and lat spread. Wow. Yeah, I would love to interview Freddie Ortiz. So if anyone has any information on how to contact him, I'll try to check him out on Facebook. But yeah, he was a great, obviously I know who Freddie is. He was a huge figure in the Weider organization and in those early Weider contests before even they had the Mr. Olympia back in like 63, 64, Freddie was doing great in contests. And I remember his ads in the old Muscle Builder magazines with those gigantic arms. Our friend Jerry Branham has also talked about Freddie from the old days because Jerry used to see him when he was like a teenager training in the gyms in New York. So, yeah, I would love to get Freddie Ortiz on the show. So I will look into that. All right. And I put our Glenn Kinnear, Larry Bernstein interview up on YouTube as well. So I'll read some comments I got on that. This one was from John S. He said, Sergio worked with my dad at the 24th District Police Station in Rogers Park. So I got his little training course pamphlets for free, and he autographed my weight belt, Sergio the Myth Oliva. And I worked out with it in college from 90 to 94. I showed it off to my friends from New Jersey and Philadelphia. I never heard of these guys, Glenn and Larry, but this was most interesting. I never knew there was such a bodybuilding scene like this in Illinois. These guys, especially Glenn, are totally blue-collar Chicago guys, accent and attitude and everything. Yeah, I agree. Glenn, you can't lose weight if you drink alcohol. It's a very fattening drug. The marijuana or abstinence would be better or best in that order. Fun interview. Cool guys on both sides of the camera. I'm sure Glenn knows about the downfalls of drinking beer, but like as he said in the interview, he wants to enjoy life right now. Andrew said, moral of the story, be conscientious of your skeleton. Dean Phillips said, John Hansen's memory and historical bodybuilding knowledge is incredible. And Mike R. said, absolutely, I love history. Mike Helix said, Frank Colta might be a person of interest to interview. His rotate recuperation system was gold for my training. After doing it 6 days a week and getting nowhere, steroids are not talked about back then, never took them, I started making gains in both strength and size right away. Best of all, only 3 days a week. I got a life back. Good times. Loving your channel and videos, the 70s and bodybuilding was truly golden. Dean Phillips said, great frigging interview. Larry's a trip. Mad funny. Love the stories from these guys, man. Priceless. And he says, Glenn Kinnear. Wow, I forgot about him. Man, I love this podcast. Piazza 427 says, I met Glenn in Phoenix, Arizona, right after he won the America. He owned Hoppy's Gym. Mike Ashley was training there, and I knew him personally from living in New York. Glenn was a pure gentleman. He let me train for free, and he gave me a signed photo from the America. And he says, two great AAU guys. Larry was great when he competed in the America. Old school guys at its best. John S. says, this is really cool because I grew up in Chicago too. In 77, I started first grade. When Glenn said the Metropolitan at the Leaning Tower, he was talking about the Leaning Tower YMCA in Niles, Illinois on Toohey Avenue. I did not get in the weight room at Leaning Tower until like 85, 86, but it was definitely packed with monsters, but it also had a reputation like the heyday was already in the past. Tony Dominich says, hey, John, please try to get the 95 Houston Pro Show. Nasser El Sambadi won that year. Thanks. Tony Dominich from the Toronto, Canada IFBB Pro. I'm not really sure what he means by try to get it. Get the video, maybe? I don't know. I don't think there's a video of that show, but I remember that contest. 95 was the year Nasser really came out big. I think he won the Night of the Champions that year, too. But I don't have any video from that. Samuel Clemens said, LOL, Glenn, it might help if you laid off the brewskis, bro. Charles D. Cristofano said, yes, Mr. Sergio Oliva. I trained at his gym in Rogers Park, Illinois for many years. Great memories. He was a funny man. Paul Hupp said, Glenn Kinnear was a great bodybuilder. He fell into the same situation or problem Jeff King did. They won the AAU Mr. America and not the MPC Nationals, so Weider would not let them compete in the IFBB. Glenn Kinnear could have easily won the Nationals, but they judged him low, I think, because of the AAU connection. The MPC was much bigger and completely took over amateur bodybuilding. And that was it. All right. Thank you guys for your comments. And like I said, if you want to email me directly, you guys can do that at naturalolympia@gmail.com. And summer is coming, so you guys, if you want to get in shape, be sure to check out my website, johnhansonfitness.com. I've got a lot of people signing up for the 12-week transformation program, which seems to be the most popular one because I will be your personal coach for all 12 weeks, as well as designing a workout and a diet for you. And then I make changes to that workout and diet as we go along. I don't just give you a cookie cutter routine. So if you are looking to get in shape, I know it's already warm out here in Florida. It was in the 80s today, but I know it's going to be warming up everywhere pretty soon because we are already like 2 weeks into April. So if you want to get in shape, just check out my website, johnhansonfitness.com. All right. So that's all I got for our opening. Here is our interview with Glenn Kinnear and Larry Bernstein, part two of our interview, where we talk more about 1970s, 1980s bodybuilding. And we also talk a little bit about how bodybuilding has changed and what the scene's like today. Here we go.
I was in that teenage Chicago, and it was in this gym, and they had us up against the wall, right? And all the judges were there in folding chairs, so they're like a couple feet away from us. And Norman Zale, remember Norman Zale? He was one of the judges. So they go, turn around and show us your hamstrings. And Norman Zale goes to the guy next to him, and he goes, they don't have any hamstrings. And I heard him. He was like right there, you know? I'm like, what an asshole.
So close, you could hear him. That's what I was going to ask. So that Mr. Metropolitan, you went in the Mister. I think I was in the teenage. Was that where we posed on a freaking pallet and they had just the light and they had a powerlifting meet before the bodybuilding?
Oh wow!
I do remember that powerlifting stuff before the shows and
They used to be that was the thing. Bodybuilding was like whatever, right?
Yeah,
that's what's still like you're talking about. You know, you win the America. I won. You won all these shows and. Man, it's like, if we were any other sport, we'd probably have a pretty, big old crib and good
and
commercials and stuff. Like,
I know.
It's like, too bad it's bodybuilding is like, what, 1% of the 1%ers?
Yeah, we just did it because we loved it, man. There was no money.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you're talking about. Because I worked a construction job in the summers, too.
Right.
I'd come home. I drove a truck, six-wheeler, get up early and all that. And come home, eat dinner, be like 6 o'clock. And my mom's like, "What are you doing?" I go, "I gotta go to the gym." She's like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "That's what you do, man. It's gonna be love, right?"
Yeah.
Well, there were times where I would train before work and get one body part done, work all day on the railroad, come home, and then go to the gym and do whatever else I had to do.
Yeah.
And liked it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a job at all.
Yeah.
I just
remember Phil Williams, the guy who won the Nationals in 85?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I interviewed him. He lived in Missouri. And when he was a teenager, he said the best gym to go to was George Turner's gym. Remember George Turner in St. Louis?
Yeah.
So he lived like 300 miles or something from George Turner's gym. So when he got off school at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, he would drive in his car to St. Louis, get there that night, work out Friday night, sleep in his car, wake up Saturday, work out again, and then he'd work out like twice on Saturday. He'd work out once on Sunday, and then he'd go back home and go back to school.
Holy.
Sleep in his car in the wintertime.
That's messed up, man. That is crazy.
I would think I'd train at home doing push-ups, pull-ups, and whatever else I had to do.
Yeah.
But he had it. I'll tell you what, in person, he looked a whole lot better than he does in pictures.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Very, very sharp lines.
Yeah.
Very clean looking.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was very good.
It was funny, John, you tell a story like that, because I was thinking, you know, I trained, I did okay, won some show, da-da-da. Then I listened to like some of the guys you've interviewed and what they did and how many sets they were doing and how they did. I was like going, man, I didn't know shit. I was like, how did I make, I was like, my timing must have been good, the right place, right time. And
yeah.
I was like, man, oh man. I was like, looking back, I'm thinking, shit, maybe I should have eaten more, done more set. just like, you know, you rethink it all.
Well, that's a good point, Larry, because all we did was just read the magazines, right? There was no coaches. Yeah. There was no trend. Now, they all got coaches. Every one of them, they all got coaches.
Do they really? Yeah.
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 And they're on the internet. They're learning all the shit from the internet. I mean, we didn't know anything. We just had to learn through experience, you know?
Yeah. You want to feel triceps? You're going to just find whatever hurts them. And
right.
Stick that.
Right.
Let me ask you this, John. Is there anybody you would want to interview that you haven't?
Well, Arnold, of course. I mean, I'd love to do Arnold, but he's probably impossible to get to. But I'd like to do like Lou Ferrigno. I'm trying to get Rick Wayne. Remember Rick Wayne?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been like.
He was great back in the day.
Got to be close to 80.
Yeah, he's got to be up there.
But I mean, he was a writer for Weeders Magazine. He knew all those guys. He knew Arnold when he was a teenager. So well, I've been talking to him.
You and Arnold, you can't get to him without him.
I called his office once, but I'll keep trying. I'll try again. I'll probably have to go out there to California.
He's a superstar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's face it, we all want to get over there and hang with him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Dude, I can't imagine his lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. When did you guys first meet Lance? When did you first meet Lance Dreher?
I met Lance, I know when it was. I saw him at some shows, and then I think I saw him again when I – he guest was at the Collegian Illinois, which I competed in, the Mr. Collegian Illinois. And okay. I was like, holy shit.
What year was that? Like?
I went to Collegian Illinois, but he guest posed. And I was like, you know, the size of his quad or something. Was,
right, right.
Like, Lance had a lot of muscle, man.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the – he worked for Chicago Health Club.
Yeah.
And I worked for Chicago Health Club. And then there was like a corporate meeting thing and – he was there, and I was just looking. It's kind of like you looking at Sergio Oliva. I was like, "Whoa!" I was like crazy. And then actually, Lance is the reason I moved out to Arizona because we both were in that Mr. World in WABA in '85 in Massachusetts.
Oh yeah,
When Samir Banute won.
When Samir won, yeah.
Yeah, and Lance said, "Hey, why don't you move out to Arizona? We could train for the Universe together." And I was like, "Shoot, I'm leaving Chicago," and then you know, never turn around. And we start training together, and then he said, yeah, I'll meet you at the gym at 5 a.m. And I'm like, what?
How'd you do in that show, Larry?
Pardon?
How'd you do in that show?
The Universe?
The World, the one that was in.
The World. I won my class. Okay. Brown Dart won the tall class, and the overall went to Richard Roy.
Richard Roy, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was one I competed against a few times, too, and he always seemed to be a step ahead of me.
He beat you, too?
Yeah. He
two of us now.
Yeah. No, he looked.
He got nothing.
He had a good look to him for sure. I think, like, the first time I went to the USA, NPC USA, was like in 82.
Okay.
And I took third there. And that seemed to be as high as they would, you know, let me go.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you know, I took third once or twice, but I'd wind up, you know, going to the Nationals and. I'm pretty sure fifth was the best I ever did over there.
These are protein drinks, by the way.
Yeah, they look like it.
But then I went to that let's get back to Lance before I get talking out of my freaking zone here. The first time I met Lance Dreher, I heard he was working at that Chicago Health Club down 95th Street past Evergreen Plaza.
Okay.
So, John, you know, that's quite a hike from where we were.
Right.
And I, you know, I was young, 16, even if I was 17, I didn't compete yet. So anyway, 16, 17 years old, I took the bus all the way down 95th Street and I get into that Chicago Health Club. I don't even know if I got to say hello to him, but I did get to see him. I might have said, wow, you know, hi, nice to meet you. But this guy looked incredible. When you're 16, 18 years old.
Yeah.
You're looking at this world-class champion. You're like,
and he was young, too.
Yeah, he was young.
He was big. Like, I mean, kind of like you in your pictures, man, that you've been posting. I was like, holy cow, 15, you had that big old chest frame and all, you know, structure. Lance is the same thing, man.
Yeah, Lance
had those arms that were just incredible.
Yeah.
And you were expecting, I mean, I think a lot of people besides myself expected Lance to win the universe like he did, and expected Lance to be a top professional. And you know, maybe if he got there a little sooner, he might have done good as a pro. But the time he got to the pro ranks, you're running in these freaking symmetrical monsters that are, you know, ripped to the bone. And but hey, give him credit, man. He did a great job. He had a great freaking carried that so much muscle. I can't imagine having arms like that, you know.
Were you guys in the were you in the 1980 Central USA that he won? Were you at that show? You were in that show, right, Larry?
I was in he won, right? I think it was a junior. There might have been a junior.
Yeah.
I think it was 80. That's a
I think I won a teenage in 79 maybe or 78 or 9.
Okay. You were in all the teenage shows.
Yeah, I won, you know, but I'm trying to think. I did go into I went into I think it was in Michigan, Midwest, Mr. Michigan.
Okay.
Same night, they had maybe like there was two shows, and I'm like, they're going to let me enter both. I'll enter both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I won the first senior regional that I was able to win, and it was really cool because they had those cool statues, which I wanted my whole life.
Yeah.
So I finally got statues because of the body parts and most muscular.
Yeah.
I won the Midwest Michigan, which first time I won a tall trophy. This is the greatest night of my life kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then the other one, which was the Central USA or whatever it was, I think I took second. Yeah, I took second. And you remember a guy named Gary Zuck?
Yeah.
Gary Zuck.
Total Frank Zane looking dude.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that dude?
I don't know.
He was phenomenal, you know? Never heard again from him.
He wasn't from Illinois, right, Glenn? He was from Michigan.
I don't think he was from Illinois, but I think he was Midwest.
Yeah, he was Midwest.
Indiana or Michigan, somewhere, I think Indiana. But he had such a Frank Zane, beautiful body, and then all of a sudden he disappeared.
I totally remember.
How about the one year I went to watch the USA, me and Schroeder, I don't even remember where it was, but they had that guy, Dave Johns, I think, won it.
Okay.
Oh.
Not the big black guy.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
This was a pretty boy, Johns. Was his name Johns? I just seen some shit today on it. That's what made me think of it. But the other guy there was a freaking powerhouse, strong, dense, real thick. And I'm saying to Joe, Joe's like, oh, this guy's going to win, totally going to win. And I'm like, I'm telling you, man. Oh, Dave Rogers.
Dave Rogers, right, 1980.
I'm like, Dave Rogers is going to win this show.
Dude, you are an encyclopedia. Yeah, you're the best, buddy, man.
I hope you got a lot of time because you ain't getting rid of us tonight.
Dude, he's already past my bedtime. If you were out here, I'd be asleep. I'm just like, how are you pulling this off? I hope you had a chance to eat because you just came from the gym. I know you
I'm good.
John, do you remember who he beat? The big, thick guy I'm talking about? Peters, maybe?
I think Haney was in that show, but Haney got fourth.
Great guy. He had the long.
Oh, Don Peterson.
Don Peterson. Big, thick dude.
Yeah.
He's big and thick. It's kind of like.
How do you know all these dudes? I'm like, Jesus. See, you are the guru, man.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know who took a lot of pictures of him was Doris Berrio, remember? The lady from Florida. She took a lot of
them. Yeah, I remember her.
Where was he from, Don Peterson? Somewhere in the South, right?
I don't remember
the damn name.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Maybe Louisiana or something like that.
That's what I thought, somewhere from the South.
Yeah,
but then that pretty boy came in and beat him, and I just thought, I'm telling you, they're going to give it to that pretty symmetrical-looking dude. They don't want this big. I don't know, like a Benny Poda, remember him?
Oh, yeah, I remember Benny Poda.
Like, dude, come on, really?
Oh.
I mean, I couldn't believe this guy placed ahead of me, I think, or even placed at all.
It was Bertil Fox. You know, he was like.
Oh, way worse than that. I mean, he had that shitty, you know, his head looked like it was going to explode. He made the worst faces.
Well, he would pose until his nose started to bleed, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was
the beast from the east.
Okay, before we get too far from Illinois, though, it's like, do we not talk about Belknap? I mean, how do we.
Oh, yeah. But before we get into that, though, Glenn, I want to talk about something you just brought up. We were doing bodybuilding back in the 70s, 80s, it seemed like the judges always rewarded symmetrical physiques. Like, you had, like, size was important, of course. You had to be in condition. You had to be cut. But they rewarded guys who had beautiful physiques, right? And that's something now that has seemed like it's gone away. Like, if you look at the pros now, it's just about how big you can get, and they got to be in condition. They got to be hard as a rock. But they don't look at the shape and symmetry anymore.
Yeah, it's sickening to me. I mean, I look at a couple of those top guys, and a lot of times I look right past them. I don't even comment because I'm not impressed. I mean, sure, you want to look big and symmetrical like Coleman? Yeah. I'm impressed, dude.
Yeah.
You know, this is a bodybuilder that looks fucking like a monster.
Yeah.
Like that guy who won it, I don't even know his fucking name.
Who?
Way too
big, Rami.
Yeah, way too thick.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
His legs are too fucking big.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what they want now, right? I mean, that's
I don't
like it at all.
I thought there was a move towards like classical when there's something.
Well, they have classic physique. So
So
now it's like not all one class. Like before, it seemed like even in the Open Mr. Olympia, a guy like Zane or Muhammad McAway or Samir, those guys would place high because they had the symmetry. But now it's like they don't even look at that. So now they created a whole new division. So those guys, now when these guys are coming up, people will go, oh, he's classic. Oh, he's bodybuilding. So it's like, it's not all together anymore. It's just different division.
Yeah,
so if you've got a symmetrical physique, you're classic. If you're big and blocky, you're bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the guy's name that won the classic part?
Chris Bumstead.
Okay. I mean, I think he looks great, but he's
looks
not
great,
even close to Samir. He looks like an amateur compared to Samir.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Sure, he's in shape. He looks good. He looks like, you know, a Mr. Midwest kind of guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You talk about Zane, Samir, but...
Labrada, McAway.
Yeah. Labrada, McAway is the one I was thinking of. Labrada. Yeah. Now, those guys, I don't give a fuck who you compete against, big or not.
Yeah.
They, to me, look fucking great.
They're balanced.
Right.
I would place all four of those guys ahead of this oversized Mr. Olympia they have now.
Oversized.
Right, right.
And then if you put them all in the classic, the kid who won this year, he's not even close to those professionals.
Right,
he looks
right.
like a good amateur. And I'm not trying to put him down.
Right, right.
I mean, he's way better than me. Say whatever you want to say. I'm just saying he looks like an amateur still compared to our greats that we see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zane, McAway, Banu, Lee Labrada. I mean, those guys are fucking superstars, man. Hall of Fame.
I just listened to this podcast a couple weeks ago, and they got all these pros on there, like four pros at once. It's a real popular podcast. And the one guy was talking about Arnold. He said he was unbalanced. He said Arnold was unbalanced. I don't know what pictures he's looking at, you know.
Yeah, what are you looking at?
And then he said Zane was the most overrated bodybuilder ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is this? I know. Never mind.
I mean, they're from a different era. I mean, it's all about size and
exactly
hamstrings and glutes and.
I've seen Frank Zane on stage several times. I bet you maybe half a dozen times. The guy, when the lights came on and he was under there.
He was up there, yeah.
He's like a statue, man.
I know.
This is bodybuilding. How could you not look at him and say, damn. You think he won three Olympias for nothing?
Nothing.
Right.
You know,
and he beat some great bodybuilders like Boyer Coe was great.
Yeah.
Name a few other guys. Yeah, they were great, but kind of like Lance. Lance was great, but Boyer Coe, he didn't even have abs.
Right.
You know what I mean? He had these great, awesome arms. He didn't have a beautiful-looking physique.
Right.
And I thought Boyer Coe was one of the nicest guys I ever met.
Yeah, yeah.
Super. Yeah, he was one of the coolest dudes I met. Like Mentor, he was never in shape.
Yeah.
You know, nice shape and everything, but.
John, was it Boyer Coe that you interviewed that got locked out and had to run around?
Yeah, yeah.
That is, to me, the best story. Did you hear that one?
I don't know if I heard that.
You got to listen to Boyer Coe interview he did.
Oh, okay. My God.
That was
he said he was 17 years old. He was competing. His dad used to drive him to all the shows in the South every weekend. So he was competing every weekend. So he's from Louisiana. So his dad drove him to Texas. It was like in February. It was one of his first shows. So there's all these guys. I don't even think it was a teenage show. It was just open, right? So he's pumping up. He's like into himself. He's totally focused on the show. So he gets up. He looks up, and everybody's gone out of the pump-up room. They're all on stage. So he freaks out. He goes out the door. He realizes he's in the alley. He goes out the door into the alley. All he's got on is his posing trunks. It's February. It's freezing out. He can't get into the door. The door locks from the outside. He's got to run around the whole building, go in through the lobby, and run up through the aisle of the auditorium. So when he gets into the auditorium, they announce his name. He runs up the aisle and jumps up on the stage and comes out there.
That is one of the best stories. Listen to all those stories you've had. That one just.
So the next day, him and his dad are driving home, and they're, you know, his dad's real quiet, and his dad goes, you know, that was pretty cool what you did last night, you know, going through the auditorium and running up the aisle. You can tell him he got locked out.
You know? That was hilarious, man.
You know, when I first started, my uncle had a friend named Wally Bitter. He was the only guy I knew that had trophies from bodybuilding. So for a short time, I trained with him and my uncle. And, you know, he gave me the whole no carb type thing. And then I realized when I ate carbs after a show, I looked better. So
yeah.
I started going no carb, and then I'd eat carbs, and I learned how to peak for shows.
Right.
But he was from Boyer Coe's area. Like, Boyer Coe was a big fan of his.
Yeah.
He was from Louisiana. He had trophies from, like, 68, 69, maybe 70, 71.
Yeah.
That was an inspiration for me, too, was my uncle's friend.
Okay.
Wally, who's still living, 70-something years old, and still trains and still looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
All these years. I seen him about 2 years ago when my uncle passed.
Really? Wow.
And I'm like, damn, Wally, so good to see you. And it's great that, you know, this guy loves bodybuilding that much.
It keeps it the fountain youth, man.
Yeah.
He's doing it.
He still looks good, and thank him for his help.
Yeah. So, speaking of Louisiana, I got to bring this one up because the year I won my class of the America, Jesse Goutreau,
he won
a class, Marty Brancard, Jeff King. But whatever happened to Jesse Goutreau?
I don't know. I haven't heard of him in years.
Have you ever tried to track him down? Or
no.
Mm-hmm. He was a good dude, quiet, like all Louisiana, you know. But
he had a good physique.
You probably competed against him, didn't you?
I don't know if I ever competed against him. I totally know who you're talking about.
Yeah, no, he was a good dude.
I mean, I've seen him. He competed a lot and did well.
Yeah, I just wondered.
I don't know if I ever been in a show with him, though.
Yeah, because then he's now getting south. And it just gets me thinking about some of the Florida competitors that might have shown out the America, like Abe Cuesta. You remember
Abe? Yeah, I remember Abe.
He was a funny dude.
Yeah, I competed against him a little bit,
and then
too.
He had Rich Poston.
I just got friends with him today on Facebook.
Did you really?
It was weird. His name came up, and I'm like, you know what? Boom. I clicked on it,
he was from Tampa. He owned
Tampa. Oh, yeah. I think I went down and guest posed at a show with him, actually, with Jill O'Connor.
Yeah, from Hammer.
Okay, she won the America when I won.
Did she really? The same year? 86?
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was.
No, I think she won 84, Glenn. She won 84.
Oh, yeah, yeah. McCluskey won when I won.
Okay. Connie McCluskey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Connie McCluskey.
Right. I couldn't remember. She was actually with Arizona.
Good thing we got the encyclopedia with us. Damn,
I know, dude.
You're good, bro.
Dude, you're the bomb.
I mean, there's a lot of shit I don't even remember until you guys start bringing it up.
Right, then it comes back. Yeah.
Things start to come back. You know, right. I mean, that's a lot of years ago. And
right.
I entered a lot of damn shows when I was young just because I loved to compete. And
yeah.
I remember Lance telling me, he's like, man, dude, I mean, I didn't have to diet that hard. I dieted like everybody else, but like Lance would have to diet so hard for a show.
Oh, yeah.
So wonder why you don't like to compete. You know what I mean?
Right.
Dude, I mean, I don't know about you. I hate to say it. You remember? But that was back in the day. If you weren't doing a show, you bolt up.
Yeah.
You know, you get heavy and you get. So I would lose 30 pounds to do a show. It wasn't 30.
Yeah.
See, I tried to bulk up and all that other stuff. And
your metabolism was too fast.
I mean, I was 10, 15 pounds heavier maybe, and then I diet down.
That's
for a
why
show.
You're always so shredded, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't gain weight. You know, I couldn't seem to get big. I remember being suggested from maybe even Ira that, oh, you should take a year off and try to get bigger. And I liked it too much. I'm like, didn't take no year off. I mean, so I never did. And once I did, I never went back.
Yeah. When you did the America, Larry, that was in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
83?
Yeah. 83 in Tampa. And my whole mindset was either I win the show and I go to the universe or I lose and I go to Disneyland. I was like, you know, either way it was going to be cool. I'd never been to Disneyland. I never,
yeah.
Or Disney World, I guess.
Disney World, right.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. And that was pretty cool because they took us like as a team and then they set up like a tour. So we got to go. We were there like for 12 days, and the funny was, I thought I was, go there and get the food and do the thing. Jeff King shows up. He's got a suitcase full of food. He brought all of them food, and I'm like,
I did that at the America.
Did you? Yeah,
because I screwed up in '85 on my diet, and I didn't place, and I went back, and a month later I was in shape, and I stayed like that and all the way till the contest. And when I left my house, I brought my griddle, my microwave, and like my body never knew I left my gym from Phoenix.
Right.
Cooked everything in a hotel. I figured when the show's over, then it's time to do whatever. And,
yeah. Where was that at the year you won it, Clem?
What's that?
Where was the America at the year you won it?
Dallas, Texas. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
John, I'm impressed.
You won the Mr. World too, right, that year?
That year the Mr. World was here in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Vegas or Vegas?
No, I won the AAU Mr. World first.
Oh, that was here. That's right.
Then I won the AAU America in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I came back, and I went to the WAB, whatever.
WABA.
The WABA World. That was Vegas. And that's where I thought I achieved probably my best condition. And I won my class, but I lost the overall.
It was at the
guy from Canada, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Andre Maillet. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
And then, John, I did wind up going to that IFBB North American Championship 2 years, 89 and 90.
Okay.
89, I lost to that dude, too, I think. I don't know if it was the same guy. 89? I lost to some Canadian dude. He had some good shoulders.
That's Andre, yeah.
But I thought, man, all right, that's the only thing that I felt like I needed more of. I couldn't seem to get those caps like some of them guys.
Yeah.
I go back the next year, and I lost to Nimrod King.
Yeah, yeah. And by 1 point, right? 1 point.
Well,
dude, how do you know all this stuff?
Glenn told me. I remember Glenn told me.
Yeah, well, the thing that got me, though, Nimrod King's a great bodybuilder, better one than I am. But that day,
he was off.
He was way off. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? He's smooth as shit.
That's what we were talking about.
And I couldn't believe that. I'm like, you hate to sit here, 40 years later and complain, but I just thought it. Then the magazines came out like super quick, and all the pictures from him was from something else, not that day.
Right, right.
I was like,
you believe they do
are
that
you
crap?
Fucking kidding me, man?
You know, you probably know that stuff, John.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get back to our buddy Belknap.
Yeah, let's talk about Belknap.
We're getting, all these years I'd compete against him as a teenager, and he was okay. I think I'd win. He'd take third or fourth or something.
So you knew he was in the teenage shows, but not me.
Yeah, I knew he was there.
I don't blame you. I was probably non-existent. He was just kind of a heavy, big dude. He wasn't cut at all.
At that time, he wasn't heavy.
Oh, he wasn't?
He was, he was just an average teenager.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. He was like, get it, teenage body, and he always would take third or fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So then one year, I told a couple of my friends that I'm still friends with, dude, let's just go to Kentucky. I want to enter this.
This story.
I entered some damn show in Kentucky. I don't remember the name or nothing.
Yeah.
And I was having a good time weekend, eating pizza, this and that, but not till after the show. I went there and I was in shape, and I wind up taking fourth place. Well, back it up a step. I see Belknap, and that was the first time he was huge. I'm like, everyone's like, oh, my God, you see this guy, you see this. And I didn't even want to let him acknowledge that I noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
I was totally jealous. Like, how the fuck did he get so big?
Well played, yeah.
He was so big, dude. And he had all that shape in the world.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because when we get on stage, he's smooth. But he's so much shape and he's so big, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I take fourth place. They give Belknap fifth.
Oh, no.
He had steam coming out of his ears, man. He was so fucking pissed. And that might have.
He had a temper, man.
That might have drove. Yeah, he was a hothead guy.
Yeah.
That drove him to get cut, come in there, win the Illinois.
Yeah.
Get more fucking ripped, win the Midwest.
Right.
Now he comes and gets. He's totally shredded to beat Lance Dreher.
Yeah.
America,
dude.
At the America.
Yeah, the America. Lance was, I don't know whose face had the bigger surprise, Tim or Lance.
Right.
You know, Tim was like, wow, I actually won this prick.
Yeah.
And Lance was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean.
That was a 4-3 vote.
I think Tim was just too ripped.
Yeah.
He went down the leg heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
As great as Lance was, Tim was just.
And what, 5'4", and he was like, back then, at
198.
That size.
Now, Larry, you competed against him at the Junior Illinois, right?
I competed against him numerous times. I want to say someone like a nemesis, but yeah, the Junior Illinois, after I had a great year. And
now, that was the first time he was really big, right?
Yeah, we talked about this when we talked before, just like you were saying. I'm getting all pumped up thinking I'm all that shit, ready to go on stage and freaking win a Junior Illinois. And here's this Belknap standing in the corner with his velvet sweatsuit on.
Yeah, I was shocked how big he got.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't even pumping up. He just standing there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking he was just kind of a smooth, heavy chunk, whatever. He takes it off.
Did you know who he was, Larry, at that time?
I had no idea.
No idea.
No idea. Never saw him before. I should have just gone home.
I mean, I knew him. I knew him from the beginning. And like I said, he was fourth here, third here. But when I showed up in Kentucky and he was so freaking big and so shapely, beautiful.
What year was that, Glenn? Was that 82?
Probably 80.
That's when.
Yeah, I think it was 80. Or wait a minute. It was probably 80. Because
that's when he won the Junior Illinois. It was 80.
And then he went on to win the Midwest, 81?
Yeah. 81, yeah. And he won the Illinois in November of 80.
And then what was the America? 82, right?
No, 81, later that year.
Oh, 81?
81, yeah.
It's the same year.
82 was Rufus Howard.
Yeah, yeah.
You went, see, I pulled a name.
I seen Tim in four shows, and every one of them was like, smooth, big and smooth, but then a little cut. Wow, he's got some cuts here. Now he's ripped, and now the America shredded.
Yeah.
No, the thing though with Belknap is didn't he try to go like in the IFBB or NPC or something?
IFBB, both.
He didn't do well.
Right.
Something happened because man, so he left there, and that's when I ran into him at the NABBA Universe in London in 84 and 85. I took second 2 years in a row. I was like, God damn it! I got to go across the freaking world to lose to a guy who grew up 2 hours from me in Chicago.
Right?
And they're like, again. Again, I'm like, dude, I was thinking, you're supposed to be a pro. How are you even, how are you in this? I was so pissed. Oh, I was so pissed.
Larry, I got that video from that 84 NABBA Universe. I got the prejudging. Well, you know what happened. All these guys walk out, right, Glenn?
And I knew you were going there.
Whole bunch of guys.
Wait, take the knife out of my back now, bro.
At the very end, and the camera's over here, and all of a sudden the crowd just goes, whoa!
When they put the camera on,
they got the camera over here. Belknap comes out at the end, and the whole crowd goes, whoa! the camera goes over, and Belknap looked like a freak. Holy shit!
I was standing right next to him, dude. I was trying to push it. I was like, come on, man. Something was wrong with him. I was like, this can be my year, right?
You remember that guy, Ron Hagen? Big guy. He used to train with Sergio.
I remember the name. I can't quite put the face to it, though.
He had a mustache. He was a big guy, about 6'2". And, he used to brag to everybody that he trained with. He was Sergio's training partner. So I'm watching the 1980 Mr. Illinois, the Belknap one, and I saw the prejudging. I went out there early to Rockford. I watched the prejudging. So then I'm at the night show. And, they got the teenage, and then they got the juniors, and then they got the mister. this Ron Hagen sitting right behind me with all his, with like two of his friends. He's ripping on everybody, you know, like, oh, look at this fucking teenager. Can you believe this guy's got no arms? What's he even doing? Everybody that came out. So then they have the intermission before they get to the senior class, the open class. He goes out into the lobby and he comes back and he tells his buddies, he goes, hey, you know who I ran into outside? He goes, that kid Belknap, you know, the guy that won the Junior Illinois. And I said, hey, Tim, you doing the show? And Belknap looked at him and he goes, I am Mr. Illinois. And he's like, so then he's like, can you believe that guy? What an asshole. You can't fucking say that shit. So then Belknap comes out. This fucker didn't say a word. The rest of the night, he didn't say one word. His mouth was hitting the floor.
That was Tim, though, man.
Yeah, oh, he was unbelievable that day.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Grab a beer, dude.
I'm going
to. Oh.
Yeah, good stuff, John.
Yeah.
John, I'm impressed. It's like you just come from the gym after a day of work, like 9:30 your time. You're still rolling, bro.
What did we talk for, an hour and a half?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's fun, man.
Yeah.
Chicago.
So who was the most impressive bodybuilder you guys ever saw? Was it Sergio, Glenn, for you?
As far as being in person, Sergio.
Yeah.
And he wasn't shabby on the stage either.
Right.
77, 78. But as far as somebody being on stage, I would have to say probably McAway and Zane.
Okay.
Those two guys I saw, I was just like, man, it was just such a show to watch, you know?
Did you see those guys in person, Glenn, at a show?
Yeah.
What show? Do you remember?
No, it wasn't a show. They were both guest posing.
Oh, guest posing. Okay.
Guest posing in great shape.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just like, man, these guys – Muhammad with his posing routine, phenomenal.
I know. Nobody poses like that today. Nobody.
No, it was just insane.
Yeah.
And Zane a couple times in great shape. I'm trying to think if I'm – I hope I'm not leaving anybody out. I mean, obviously, if I am, it's because I didn't see him.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been a great fan of Samir and Labrada.
Samir was impressive. He won the 85, that pro world. In the Wobble World.
Yeah, but, yeah. He looked amazing that year.
You're talking about impressive. I mean, he was freak. Sergio Bray was incredible. I got to train and stay at his place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, big fan of his, but I never got to see him, you know?
Right, me neither.
Oh, no, I mean, that was like kind of a luck-out type of thing. But, you know, talk about – I mean, he wasn't like the most impressive physique, but entertaining as hell, John Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Remember his robotic routine back in the 80s? Oh, my God. People went nuts.
Yeah.
Speaking of John Brown.
I could watch him over and over. You get it, bro? I could watch him over and over. He was.
So you saw him in Europe, right, Larry, when he was out there doing the guest posings?
Oh, yeah. We went around together a fair amount.
Yeah, right.
I mentioned, we would go to lunch at McDonald's, and I'd bring my potato and chicken breast, and he'd order Big Mac and fries and shit. And he'd go. He had to eat like that, or he'd be
a leaver, man. He'd just eat whatever he wanted. And
Yeah.
Speaking of John Brown, his son's was a great college football player. I don't know if he's still.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of his sons is one of his sons plays for the Packers, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But he changed his last name.
Yeah.
It's called St. Brown or something.
St. Brown, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the interview, but then I saw him on TV. I go, wait, that's John Brown's kid, man.
Yeah.
I was watching the college game, and they said his dad's a bodybuilder. I'm like, oh, shit, I know who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You know, John, your interviews and stories, it's so cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Stuff you've delved into that, you know, I don't know about you, Glenn. I never, you know, like knew these guys' stories and the way they trained and what they went through.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. I just want to thank you. What you're doing, because
thank you.
Who else has? You've got the passion, and I just like you've crushed it.
I love it too, man. I love talking to those guys. You know, I wish I
figured you'd have to, because you know,
it just shocks me like how many you are able to reach.
Yeah,
it says, you know, who haven't you got to yet?
Right.
I mean, I see stuff with you and Tom Platz and Samir and you know, so many of the greats, and I'm like. If I ever got to meet any of them, it was just like, hi, I'm Glenn. I'm competing in this local fucking teenage thing.
Right,
Right. And I watch him guest pose. But I do have to say, like Frank Zane, Boyer Coe, there was a few of them that were just so freaking kind and polite to me.
Yeah.
When I was younger, and I thought, wow, these guys, this is what I want to be like, you know?
Right, right.
I want to be one of these big shot guys and be nice to kids, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, and Boyer's a great guy.
Oh, I remember Frank Zane. I'm sure I'm missing a few, but those two, they always seemed to be around because that was the year, 77, 78.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoying the winter here in Phoenix, man.
Yeah. I wish I was out there with you guys.
Springtime. Man, Larry's son's bigger than him, dude.
He's giant.
Say hi, Cole. Maybe we should get him out of the interview.
Yeah. Oh, hi, man.
No, wait a minute. No, we got to take points
here's
off.
Here's the next level. Here's the next level, John. John,
oh, yeah, there we go.
Hey, John, we got to take points off. You got tattoos, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they allow tattoos.
Not no more, Glenn. Not no more.
Day later, nobody had tattoos.
Yeah, no one
can't see anything.
If you had a beard, you freaking.
Yeah, you would tell you to shave it off.
Right.
Which I had no problem doing. Oh, okay. That was the.
I got to step out. Three beers. I got to break the seal.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be after him. So. Yeah, good stuff, John.
I talked to Jerry Branum. You remember Jerry Branum, Glenn? He used to write for the magazines.
Yeah,
he's a good interview. But he was talking about Ron Tufel. Remember Ron Tufel had that tattoo on his shoulder?
Right, he had a small one, I remember.
Yeah, a small one, like an eagle or something. And so he tried to get it removed. This is back in the probably late 70s, early 80s. And he said it was like his skin got all fucked up. You know, it was like all puffy and shit, you know. Remember when they tried to remove the tattoos back then? They didn't have it, you know, they didn't have that process finalized.
You know, I thought about it when I was a young kid, and then my dad was like, "What? Are you kidding me?" And
yeah.
So I never did, and then once I started competing, I never wanted any. So
Right.
And now to this day, I see a lot of bodybuilders that are done competing.
Yeah.
You'd like John DeFendis. He went and got a couple tattoos.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I thought I seen tattoos on him. I'm like, why would you do that now after all these years?
Yeah.
He's his own, don't get me wrong.
Right.
They look great on other people, but I'm glad I don't have any, man.
Yeah, me too. Nowadays, man, they get the whole arm. They don't just get one tattoo.
That's what,
they get the sleeve.
Corey, right?
Cole.
That's what Larry's son Cole's got, the whole arm here.
Yeah, there you go.
I had my girlfriend Kathy. She's put one on, little one on the back of her neck. Her three daughters have them. I'm like, all right, she's like 55 or something. Like, why now would you get this little tattoo?
Right.
I don't get it, but it looks great, honey. You know.
Yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do, man?
Right.
All right, Larry, you're up.
I'm sorry, dude.
I got to go in there and take a leak myself. Like, if I can get up.
How many times in an interview have you had this, John? That's what happens when you interview old guys with messed up process.
Right.
Take a right down the hall. Oh, he's asking you where to the bathroom at. Oh, my God. It's so funny.
How many – you've been out there for, like, what, 25 years now, Larry?
I've been out here, like, since 86.
So yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I came out here to train with Lance, and
– Yeah. Never left. I know.
It's been good, you know? It's been good. I just wish there was some type of hardcore place, like, we can, everyone go back and get together and be like the old times. And
Yeah.
You know, watch some freaks come out of the gym and play high nationals.
Right.
And not freaks like, you know, we were talking about, but like classic freaks.
Yeah.
Like maybe my son. Like, you know what impressed me is Lee Robata's kid.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah, but I mean, but he's not like stupid. Like, you know what I mean? I hate to say stupid. Yeah, and he looked good. I was like, well done, Lee.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what he looks like in the next couple of years. I wonder if he – I bet he'll keep getting bigger, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that look. I hate to say it.
No, I know. His posing was pretty good, but I thought it was going to be a little bit better, you know.
Yeah.
Not as good as his dad's.
Yeah, I like that Sean Ray routine you threw up there from back in the day.
Yeah.
That was like – I had never seen that because, you know, maybe being a few years older than that crowd.
Yeah.
And was looking back and
– The one where he won the Nationals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
trained by John Brown, right?
Yep. Yeah. John Brown taught him how to pose. Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. Cause all that stuff.
Yeah. I think John Brown helped out, Sean, Vince Taylor and Melvin Anthony. They're all awesome posers.
Oh yeah. And that was like kind of ahead of their time, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, man, I wish we had something like that in Chicago.
Right. Helping us. Right.
Bunch of white boys with no rhythm.
Right.
Help, man. I mean, and we weren't Serge Oliva. We couldn't just get on stage and go, oh yeah, he's that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's like, well, we were all pretty good posers though. I mean, at least we tried, you know?
Oh yeah. But just say that stuff. And like, oh, you're talking about McAvoy and all that. I was like, you try to emulate it. You know what I mean? You saw it and it was like, oh, I want to look like that. You know,
right,
he had that thing and all that.
Right, right.
Yeah, but he had, man, a special presence about him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amazing.
I was so impressed when I saw that dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he was just a little dude.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to him at all. I mean, I saw him in photo next to Sable. You know, I saw him, Mike had some posts and some pictures. Like, well, mm-hmm. I never met McAvoy, and I would have loved to.
Yeah.
But he was like, wow, he's not that big a dude at all.
That's what's missing from our sport.
Other guys, guest posts here in Phoenix, you know, and they were good. Like, you know, Haney and some other greats, but McAvoy and Zane, dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
Even like Boyer Coe, I've seen him a few times, totally in great shape. I mean, he had those special arms and.
Yeah, signature poses.
Yeah. But it, you know, he had a weird midsection, like he didn't have abs at all.
Right, right.
You know, not to take anything away from him, but you knew when you seen that body who it was.
Yeah,
Boyer Coe.
Yeah. Well, I remember they used to do the Olympia, and they would have the stage backlit, so when the guys came out, you could only see their silhouette.
Yeah, the silhouettes.
And they would come out and hit one pose, and the whole crowd would know who that guy was. You know.
Yeah, and as great as he was, like, he could never beat a Zane.
No, he never beat Zane.
No way.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jai, a little grill issue. My son just did a 12-hour shift driving an ambulance.
Oh, no shit. Wow.
Nice.
We're trying to, you know, we got to refuel the, all the.
Yeah.
Get the power back, man. That much younger. Like,
so, John, it's almost 7 here. What time is you? 10?
Almost 10.
So 3 hours, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Chicago's 2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think when they do the time change, you guys don't do the time change, right?
Not in Arizona, right?
Yeah, right. Because I think it's usually 2 hours, and then when you do the time change, it's 3.
Damn, 3's too many, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just laughing. When it's 10 o'clock here, bro, I'll be snoring. I don't care. You can sit out here and party. I don't care. I'm going to be snoring like a big dog. I was up at 4:15 this morning.
I'm going to be at the bar looking for a new girlfriend. See what I can find. I actually did meet one last week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll meet her tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Look at you two freaking stud muffins, man. I'm just living through you guys, you know? We waited like 25, 30 more minutes. My wife will come home from the hospital. Oh, you drunk bastards.
Right. All right, John. Yeah, great.
All right, guys. Well, I'll let you guys go. Thank you for joining me on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I had a great time talking to you.
Thanks for having us,
dude. I'll have to do it again one day.
I hope so.
All right, John. Good
to see
you,
bro. I think we want to interview you, though. I want to interview you.
I'm up for it. I'll be drinking the beer.
There we go.
See you, John.
All right, guys. Good seeing you, man. Take care. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I also want to thank our Patreon donors who are generously donating money to the show each month so we can help keep it going. I appreciate you guys. And if you're interested in becoming a Patreon donor and helping out the show, you can do that at our website, which is bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the Patreon link. All right. So before we go, I do want to read this article. And this came from the May 1981 issue of Iron Man magazine. And it's about Tim Belknap, who we just talked about in our interview with Glenn and Larry. It says, Tim Belknap, the new Hercules. Training out in Rockford, Illinois, as a young man who I have no hesitation in calling the most effective bodybuilder of our time.
He is building a physique that I'm sure will be recognized as the greatest we have yet seen. Phenomenal in his overwhelming muscular size, dazzling in the sharpness and density of every muscle of his body, and breathtaking in the perfection of his proportions and shape. His name is Tim Belknap, a name already burned indelibly in the minds of all who have seen him in the past few months. Tim and I first became friends in June 1979 when he competed in the Mid-America Classic in Evansville, Indiana. In that contest, he did nothing in the way of a brilliant placement, but he amazed everyone with his enormous muscle mass of his physique. The trouble was that Tim then showed very little in the way of muscle quality, refinement of detail, only a great deal of pure beef. It was all somewhat gross, with pronounced bulk around his hips and thighs that was difficult to admire. There was practically no muscle separation anywhere on his body, but it was all plenty big and immensely impressive and, goodness knows, highly noticeable. Somehow, even then, I sensed that there was something unusual about Tim besides his abnormal size. I persuaded him to go with me to the next month to the Region 6 contest in Cincinnati. Not much had changed in Tim's physique in that time, and his bulkiness simply turned everybody off. Big, yes, everybody said, but a quality physique? No. He didn't place at all in this contest, and he left with a vile and bitter frame of mind. Tim is by nature intensely competitive, and after getting nowhere in two contests in a row, he was anything but a pleasure to be around. His body just didn't have the right shape, and it appeared ungainly, to say nothing of his almost complete lack of definition and density. I heard no more of Tim until the summer of 1980, when Tim phoned me to say he had won the Junior Mr. Illinois title, that photos of him had appeared in Iron Man, and what did I think about him now? At that moment, I hadn't yet seen the Iron Man shots. The issue came a few days later, and when I saw Tim's photos, I saw an utterly changed man. He came down to my home shortly after that, and we made plans for him to train a bit in Florida in preparation for the Mr. Illinois contest on November 8th. During the preliminary training period, it was obvious that Tim was now on his way to a superlative physique. He not only won the title of Mr. Illinois, but every subdivision except Best Abdominals. When you look at his photos taken at that contest, I'm sure you'll wonder how he missed out on abs. On the posing platform under the lights, Tim was not one whit less than awesome. Still enormously big, even bigger than he had been in 1979, but he was showing a physique absolutely perfect in proportion and shape. His body gleaming with the sharpest muscle tone, laced with the kind of vascularity that bespoke the leanest, hardest condition possible. He was a marvel, and I'm sure none of us had ever before seen a man of such wonderful shape and with such incredible muscular development. What had happened was that Tim had completely rebuilt himself in the intervening year. His hips had been shaved down to a slimness that revealed every inch of form and development. His thighs had been reshaped, their full muscle density rippling with delineation of every massive muscle. Throughout the rest of his body, it was as though Tim had taken each of his muscles from its moorings, shaped, polished, and tamped it down to the final point of hardness. Even standing relaxed, his muscles separate completely, their insertions clear and sharp, and the full body of his muscle throbs with power. His whole pelvic region, once so loose and bulky, is now tightly muscular, superlatively shaped, and very slender in comparison to his Herculean chest, shoulders, and arms. The moment he stepped on stage at the Illinois contest, all eyes were riveted on him, and it was clear to all of us that we were seeing a truly phenomenal physique, and that before us was a young man who was going to surpass anything that we had heretofore seen in bodybuilding. On Christmas Eve 1980, Tim turned 22 years of age. At so young an age, he has achieved what I suspect no other man has achieved in a long lifetime. All of this, too, in spite of the fact that Tim is a diabetic, requiring 2 insulin injections a day. I'm told that most men with diabetes consider themselves to be in a fragile condition, especially avoiding any physical exertion and unable to excel in any form of athletics or physical activity. Tim was not particularly athletic before he contracted diabetes. Almost 4 years ago, weighing 140 pounds, Tim went to the hospital with the newly discovered diabetes and mononucleosis. He was in a coma for several days, dangerously near death. When he finally recovered sufficiently to return home, he weighed 114 pounds. Tim was so determined to not only recover, but to become strong, that he almost instantly became a fanatic at training. He trained day after day, gains coming steadily and fast. Nothing could stop him, and he speaks of having been wedded to the weights. He had no idea that he would grow so big, of course, but something in Tim's body chemistry must combine happily with the insulin to to enable him to make incredible muscular gains. He cannot take steroids in any form with the insulin, but his experience must bring into focus the effects of insulin on a body such as his in rugged training. Tim now weighs right around 200 pounds at a height of 5'5". Make no mistake about the fact that in spite of his height, Tim is a big man. From the first, he trained as heavy as he could, and his strength grew rapidly. When he was building those massive hips and thighs, he was squatting with over 700 pounds for reps and was benching 430 for reps. During the past year, Tim has given up all squatting and has thereby reduced and refined his entire hip and thigh development. Tim is incredibly strong, and he still trains with unusually heavy weights and high reps in spite of the heavy weight. As evidenced by his constant handling of the iron, the palms of both his hands are deeply and fully calloused. To watch him train is to see dynamic strength in action. He will yield to no challenge to his strength or physical stamina. As you watch his muscles swell and harden under stress, you're fully aware that you are seeing the young Hercules incarnate. Furthermore, it is a marvel to watch Tim pose. Although he's not perfect in this department as yet, it's clear that he has that wonderful feel for presenting himself that makes his posing thrilling to watch. His recent success has greatly sweetened his disposition, of course, and now one can say that he's a pleasure to be with, if you can feed him. Tim is one of a large and adoring family who are also relishing his success. He has given already every indication that he will be able to handle that success that is coming his way. While in Louisville, I was impressed by the way he talked to the other fellows assembled in the gym, all of whom gathered around to watch Tim, unable to resist his magnetism of his fantastic physique and dynamism. He was remarkably articulate and generous with his ideas. He's now training for the management of a health club, which by the time this appears in print, he will be successfully doing. He has already given seminars of unusual quality. When you see him, you'll see the greatest muscular development of our or any time. Arms a full 20 inches, capped by the greatest deltoid you ever saw, and terminating in the most significant forearms that any man has ever had. It will thrill you at once, since no man has ever achieved bodybuilding greatness without superb arms. These are the best you've ever seen. His chest is full and tightly muscled, with a deep rib cage and pectorals that fairly burst his skin. His back is incredibly thick and deeply detailed from top to bottom, and his legs are the most powerful and finely modeled you have ever seen, with perfect balance between his swelling but deeply cut thighs and his heavy and deeply etched calves. If you aren't psyched out by Tim's physique, you aren't breathing. I am preparing a series of articles on Tim's training for each body area as he progresses. This man's methods and philosophy must be of absorbing interest to anyone interested in physical development and the development of character and the focusing of effort. What Tim Belknap has achieved already surpasses anything else in bodybuilding with which I am acquainted, and all of it against odds that would have defeated a lesser man. But this is a great man. His life in bodybuilding will be an inspiration to all men in the years to come. All right, that's it. Wow, what a great writer Franklin Page was. He was very, very taken with Tim Belknap, as you can see. But I can attest to Tim's impressiveness because I was there and I saw him at that 1980 Mr. Illinois and also the 1981 Mr. Midwest, and he was unbelievable. The crowd's noise when he came out was just incredible. So he really did kind of capture how impressive Tim was at that time. I mean, I think people look at him now as just another freak. But back in 1980, that was many years ago, 41 years ago, he was just unbelievable. So that is it for our show this week. Next week, we'll be joined by 1990 national NPC national champion, Al Q Gurley. So we will talk to Al Q next week about bodybuilding, how he got started in his career and all the competitions he entered and why he chose to get out of bodybuilding. That'll be all next week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Stay healthy, enjoy your workouts, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.